Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy. You're winning too much.
I'm a man. I am an anchor man. I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and bronze. That's what kind of man I am.
Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Mark Reardon, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and give a warm welcome to this guy.
On KMOX.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see you when I see you, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
I was having trouble with my little button there. I'm not sure. That sounds dirty, doesn't it? I'm not sure what happened, but I was trying to press those.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Little magic hotkeys here that we have that all the important audio is on. Like this one. This is a favorite of mine here.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Fred is off this week. Dave Klein, crabby as can all be because he's the father of twin boys. He doesn't sleep, and he's filling in for Fred this week. He's doing double duty, and he's got a cold, too. So, and he's got to work with me. I was going to say, I don't know what on that list is the worst part of it, but I think it's the last point, if I had to guess. All right, all kinds of stuff to get to this afternoon. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I got to point this out here in case you haven't seen it or heard about it. So there was a Mizzou basketball game last night. It's so nice, by the way, for those of us who are hoops fans and Mizzou fans, or just basketball fans in general, to be able to sit down last night and to actually care about watching the Tigers. Now, granted, they were playing Wagner, which I think is a high school in Cape Girardeau, but it's still nice to be able to focus on basketball. So the Mizzou Police Department last night sends out a tweet that says, this is at MUPD Police. Can we talk about at Mizzou Hoops and how it's so good it's criminal? About to be a homicide at Mizzou Arena. Hashtag M-I-Z. My son tweeted that out last night. And I get these alerts when he tweets because I want to figure out what the hell he's talking about. And I thought, there's no way that that's real. And in fact, it was real. And they had to apologize. They actually put, obviously, the homicide is not a real homicide, just pure talent out there tonight. That seems to be the wrong word, though, to use in association with any tweet on the University of Missouri campus by something in official capacity like the Mizzou Police Department. Anyway, I guess they corrected it. This became a big deal last night, though, on Twitter, because there are all kinds of people that were offended. It doesn't really offend me. I think it was kind of a stupid thing to do, and they finally deleted it. There was some guy out there named Jacob Bojaj, who I don't even know who he is, but he started tweeting about it, and they didn't like his tweet, so they blocked him. And then he says, "You're a government agency. I have the right to see your tweets. Don't block people." Then they unblocked him. So everything is, I guess, well again in the Twitter world. Then there's this story. This is one of my favorites. And we'll get to all this other stuff today, although I'm trying to decide how much I'm going to spend on Jeff Sessions because I'm so completely bored with the Russian story. There's nothing. I've watched some of this today. I've listened to some of it. They have talked incessantly over and over again about the supposed Russian connections. And you know who's been mentioned today? Papadopoulos has been mentioned quite a bit.
Opa!
Yeah, that's the drinking game. If you hear Papadopoulos, there we go again.
Opa!
Shot of ouzo, just in case you were ready out there. But I really am. I'm not hearing anything that's new here. And I know many of you out there are probably saying, yeah, same thing. So, and I've said this before, I think it's an important issue. I think it's important to get to the bottom of whether or not there was collusion. There's still no proof about collusion. And I don't know what Jeff Sessions is actually adding to this whole storyline today with the testimony on Capitol Hill. So it's been going on all day, and it's still going on, and it's rather boring. There are a couple of interchanges or exchanges that were interesting. We'll get to that. But first, this is more interesting to me. There's a white dude out there who's now known as Jadu, J-A-D-U, J-A space D-U. And he's a white dude who has decided that he's not only transgender, I think he's transitioning into a woman, if I understand. Is that right, Dave? He's a man. He's a white man. And not only is he a woman, he thinks he's a woman, he feels, Jadu feels like he's a Filipino woman. So, to my knowledge, Jadu has not any Filipino blood in his body genetically, but he wants to be a Filipino. So he says, I'm a Filipino woman. I'm not making this up.
Whenever, you know, I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that. And, you know, nothing else intrigued me more, but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it. But it's, I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time.
Oh my God. This is where we're at right now. Now, you might remember Rachel Dolezal from the NAACP out in, where was that, in Seattle or out in the Pacific Northwest somewhere. She decided that she was black even though she wasn't black, and that was okay with a lot of people on the left. Jadu feels like this is an important issue and even set up a Facebook page of support. Apparently, he's not the only one out there. I'm sorry. She's not the only one out there that feels this way.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, I had to make sure that it wasn't just me, because if it's just me, then there must be something wrong, or maybe I'm just strange. So, you know, I created the group in hopes of, you know, getting our message out in a bottle, and people started to join. People started to message me about, you know, their conflictions with themselves.
Yeah.
My family knows about my transsexuality, but they don't know anything about this. It's just my mom is kind of an older world person.
So they know that he's transsexual, that he's transgender, but they don't know that he wants to be a Filipino or he thinks he's a Filipino. That's apparently controversial.
And I just think that something, telling her something like that is just too wild. I believe that we all have the freedoms to pursue happiness in our own ways.
That's
we can
it.
We can pursue intimacy with whatever partner we want.
You know what's wild? You know what's too wild? It's not telling your mom that you're now a woman who has a penis. That's not wild. That's not going to throw her off at all. Mom's okay with that. It's telling her that you're a Filipino woman with a penis. I swear to God, like the world is turned upside down. Every time I see this poll today, 37% or the majority, I'll have to look it up here. I tweeted it out. Let me see this because I'll get the numbers wrong. We don't want to get the numbers wrong. Then I'll be accused of doing something along these
lines. You are fake news.
That's right. We don't want that, Mr. President. What was this survey here? Okay, 37. 37% of evangelicals in Alabama say they're more likely to vote for Roy Moore after the Washington Post story. What the hell? Are you kidding me? That you not only that you're not thinking about voting for him, but no, I'm now that I know that he has abused multiple women, I'm going to vote for him and stick with him even more. That makes no sense. I guess those are people that feel like these things haven't been proven. We'll take a break here this afternoon. I'm going to transition. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to be. I kind of like, I like Greek food a lot. So maybe I can be Greek. I don't really want to be a woman. I'm not going to be a Greek woman, but I'm going to figure something out probably before the end of the show. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is with us this afternoon. St. Louis County Executive Steve Stanger is still in this you-know-what match with Sam Page, and the county budget is an issue. And then in the next hour, we're going to kick off something that Chris Raby and I are putting together. It's called Bikes for Tykes, and this is going to be a lot of fun, and we want you to participate. So that and more in an audio cut of the day coming up.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
On the topic of evangelicals, somebody just tweeted at me named Todd. He said, maybe those evangelicals don't believe an article written by a D.C. newspaper about an incident that supposedly happened 30 years ago. I hope I don't have Alzheimer's, he said, but I can't remember stuff from 30 days ago like this woman did something from 3 decades ago. Which, by the way, that's like way over the 140 characters, and this is what disturbs me about the new rules. That's way too long, right? My response, though, hopefully keeping within the 140, I think I might have gone over. Yeah, except there are several women that all tell the same story who don't know each other, and they're not like lefty Democrats. They voted for Donald Trump. So that's one part of the deal there. And they have friends who corroborate what happened. They remember these things. So the second part of that is, I said, I don't remember things that happened 2 hours ago. I probably don't remember what happened 10 minutes ago. I'm like Dory. I tell people that all the time. I have short-term memory and long-term memory issues. But I will tell you this. I remember things that happened 30 or 40 years ago. Some things just jump out at me. I was on the phone with a friend of mine from Chicago I grew up with the other day, and he mentioned his Uncle Dick, who was very close with him, and he was going to San Antonio, Texas, because his uncle was a priest down there. And it was funny because as soon as he mentioned his uncle's name, I knew him when I was a kid. And I'm talking like 8 to 10 years old. 8 to 12 years old. So yeah, people remember things that happen in their lives that are significant from decades ago, even though they might forget things that happened last week or yesterday. Even Jeff Sessions. Do I believe him when he says I don't recall? Absolutely. There are things that you just won't recall. But when something happens along the lines of potentially being raped or having a guy who's twice your age when you're 14 try to grab you by the you-know-what, I think people are going to remember that. I'm guessing that's something that sticks out for them. That's no pun intended, by the way. All right, so two BFFs in St. Louis County, one being Sam Page, the other being Steve Stanger, the county executive, are kind of wrangling once again here. And this was a letter that was sent by Dr. Page to Steve Stanger. Dear Mr. Stanger, parentheses, my BFF. The 2018 budget gives me grave concerns about the county's financial stability in the coming years. Although you present a balanced budget for 2018, page 34 of your budget states that a surplus in the revenue from public safety and the sales tax is projected to cover the budget deficit this year. But, quote, absent any changes to the revenue structure, for example, the property tax rate or programs and services, service reduction or elimination, this portion of reserves will be exhausted in 2019. During questioning, your staff conceded that the county will need to raise taxes or reduce services in the 2019 budget. Specifically, your staff told us the county will need $18 million in either cost reductions or property tax increases in order to submit a balanced budget next year. Here's what Steve Stanger has said about Sam Page.
At times, he's frankly completely irrational. You know, declaring that we're in some kind of that we have some kind of an impending financial crisis with no facts to back that up is really irrational.
County Executive Steve Stanger joining me this afternoon. I'm guessing you two won't be sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner next week, right?
I doubt it. I doubt it. We might argue over whether it's turkey or ham. I don't know.
You know, serious question, though. Did you guys ever have a good relationship?
Actually, we did. I helped him out with his campaign last time, helped him get elected. I think I was instrumental.
So what happened?
I don't know. It was just an about face. In politics, this kind of behavior is actually fairly rare, and he's exhibiting it, as you can see, every week. Last week, it was trying to deny our police officers a raise. We read the text messages. We understood what his motivation was.
Yeah, let's back up on that a little bit, because I mentioned it a couple of times, but I want you to explain what happened there, because there was a text message that was accidentally sent to one member of the county leadership team, if you will, that was intended for another, right? Yeah.
In that case, what happened is a very similar letter like this one came to me, very shortly before the council hearing. On the pay increase it was up for perfection. I received a letter saying that he was going to hold the raises until he had his pension concerns addressed. Well, the pension concerns had been addressed. It was a complete red herring, and we gave that letter to the police department, to the officers. We all reviewed it together, and everybody had the consensus that he was trying to block the pay increase. And it wasn't very hard to figure out. He had had a hearing, and he was obviously very critical of it. And they got the feeling that he was trying to block it, so they showed up in great numbers to oppose him. That night, he sent a text message to the wrong Gary. He sent it to Gary Bess, who's the director of parks, instead of Gary Earls, who is his chief advisor, who was Charlie Dooley's chief advisor as well, basically saying that, by holding this pay increase, it was making me a hero. So he was going to have to move it forward, even though he wanted to block it. That was the essence of the text, which is really just a shame that he's playing politics with people's lives And the police officer showed up in force, which was great because it really backed him down pretty quickly.
I know where Charlie Dooley lives.
I'm sorry. That just automatically fires whenever his name is mentioned.
That.
Yeah, it's just automatically fired. All right, so the local paper has a story. This is serious, though, because we're talking about potential cuts in services or tax hikes in people who live in St. Louis County, of which now I am a resident, Steve Stanger.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this at the outset. It's false.
Okay, well, but here's what the story says. Let me get your react here. It says St. Louis County has been burning through cash reserves for 3 years and will need to cut services or raise taxes to have a balanced budget a year from now, according to budget projections by County Executive Steve Stanger. So that's inaccurate?
Well, this is the portion that's accurate. It's accurate and inaccurate. The portion that is accurate is that we make projections and those projections are dire. Okay, and we do that so we can be fiscally responsible and we can err on the side of spending less. So we make those projections. Now, with respect to the way to address this very minor issue, the way to address the issue is not through a cut in services, and it's not through raising taxes, neither of which will happen, neither of which our budget proposes. The way to do it is through attrition, which is what we have been doing. And I can tell you that we would have been in a much worse situation had we continued doing business like the last administration was. You know, since I've been in office, we've proposed multiple cost-cutting initiatives. You know, we cut a print shop, which with an annual cost savings of $300,000. We cut Lakeside Center, which is an annual cost of $2.1 million. We changed our food service over in the jail, which is $600,000. And these are all per year costs. We consolidated some services in the health department, and that resulted in $1 million annually. And we've been eliminating positions, and thus far we've eliminated by attrition. In other words, people leave the county, and we just don't refill their positions. We've done 22 already, so we've shrunk government by 22, and we plan on shrinking government by a whole lot more as we move toward what Sam is highlighting as 2019. Now, I would note that for 2019, on a $690 million budget, we're talking about a $3.6 million deficit or eating into reserve. That's hardly burning cash, and that's the future. That's a projection. So when we talk about $3.6 million, every 100 positions is $6.7 million. So with 50 positions that you just don't refill, you'd cover that gap, and you have 2 years to do it. So we're well on pace for that already.
But let me just go over one thing I think you've covered. I just want to be clear, because his letter to you and that first line of the Post-Dispatch story seems to insist that your staff and in your proposal, you've said that if we don't take care of this, we're going to have to cut services or raise taxes. Are you telling me that was never proposed?
No, they're seizing on one paragraph in the entire budget book. If you look two paragraphs above that, we say this forecast projects that, absent a significant change in revenues or expenditures, the budget for the general revenue fund will continue to experience deficits. And that's correct, and we need to correct that, and we have a plan to correct that. So hence, no, you know, there's no crisis.
Okay, so that focusing on that, your argument would be is sort of alarming or alarmist.
Yeah, I mean, they focused on a paragraph within this, and those are two options that we're not going to pursue. And I'm telling you, and I'm not going to state this publicly if it weren't the case, we are not raising taxes, and if Sam attempts to raise taxes, I'll shut him down, and we are not cutting services. We don't need to. What we need to do is follow the plan that we've been following, which is cost cuts that don't result in an elimination of a service, but in the case of, say, for Lakeside Center, we have much better service for our kids at Mary Grove than we do at Lakeside. And we were able to achieve that better service at a lower cost. And those are the kinds of things that we're looking to do. And 2/3 of our budget are employee wages and fringes. And when we talk about not filling positions where people leave, that's attrition. And that's how we want to do it. It's non-draconian. It's a very simple process. And we've already put this plan into place, and we've been executing
on it. And you also agree, both, there's one issue where you guys agree, and that's changing the retirement plan for new employees, right?
Well, now we agree on it.
Okay.
But previously, I proposed this 6 months ago, and he dropped it from the agenda. And now, since he wanted to make the argument that he made yesterday, now suddenly he endorses the plan.
I gotcha.
You know,
right.
So and let me tell you what the savings are there. Over 10 years, it's $30 million, and that's the plan he dropped. Over 30 years, it's $300 million, and that's the plan he dropped. You know, we're trying to think down the line as well as currently. And we've been doing a really excellent job of it. And, you know, this is election year. It's my election year next year, and so this is his version of election year politics coming from the same party.
Steve Sanger, I got to go. I got an Illinois congressman that is waiting in the wings, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it a lot. Thanks for the
John Shimkus is coming up.
Thursday night, it's the Blues and Oilers. Pregame 7:30. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action beginning at 8. Hear it here on your home for the best Blues coverage, KMOX.
Even though I'm kind of bored by the whole Jeff Sessions thing, I do have some audio highlights from those exchanges today on Capitol Hill. We'll get to them probably in the next hour. We're joined right now by Illinois Congressman John Shimkus. How are you, John?
Mark, I'm doing great. Always good to be with you.
Of course it is. Of course, and that goes without saying, doesn't
Let's
it?
Let's go Blues! Let's go Blues!
So, on health care reform, let me start with that. I just saw something that scrolled on the fake news network CNN that in the Senate version of the tax bill, there is a repeal of the individual mandate. Are you aware of that? Is that something you would support if it gets kicked back to you in that fashion?
I was just told that while I was on hold. And of course, I mean, it's all part of the repeal and replace, and the individual mandate which just forces people to buy insurance that they can't afford and they can't use. Let's get back to a competitive individual market that will lower costs and give our individual consumers more choice.
So do you think that that's in the version that may or may not pass, I guess, and land on the president's desk, you think that that will be a part of it? Some sort of, I think the Democrats are going to say you kind of snuck that into this bill.
Well, I mean, they'll have to vote. There'll be a debate on the Senate floor. We'll go to conference, and then we'll have to, the conferees will have to work out whether that's part of the final product. I will tell you, I think there's a pretty good savings or a pay for that for us to do other things on the tax reform. It wasn't part of our bill, and we can only wait and see what the Senate sends over.
You're in Washington right now?
I am.
When do you come back?
Well, it's either Thursday night after we vote to, you know, pass the tax reform bill out of the chamber, or I'll fly back Friday morning because I'm, you know, I couldn't get a flight.
All right. Well, no, I asked the question for a reason. So Thanksgiving is next week, and you come back from Thanksgiving break when?
I think we're back the 28th of November.
So that gives you that week, the following week, one more week, and then after that, it's almost Christmas. So do you really think that there's enough time to work something out between the two chambers and get tax relief on the president's desk by Christmas?
That's the goal.
I know it's the goal, but
well,
can you do it?
We've had principles, and then we had guidelines, and now
yes.
We have legislative text, and the Senate's moving right now through the Finance Committee. I think theirs is supposed to be on the floor the weekend we get back. You give a week to do conference, and you send it to both chambers. So I think the leadership in both chambers and the president is all focused to have this done by Christmas.
So, I haven't dug into every aspect of this, but I'll tell you right now, I have some concerns, and I haven't endorsed the plan for one main reason. I think there's a possibility here that a fair amount of people in certain income brackets will get tax increases compared to what they get now if they take itemized deductions. And the notion that this is a tax cut for everyone, and I certainly think it's a tax cut for a lot of people. I did have an example last week. My accountant ran some numbers on a bunch of different people, everyone making from $50,000 a year to $550,000 a year. And not everyone, depending on their circumstance, and some of this doesn't have to do only with a paycheck from an employer, but they could be taking some IRA, you know, disbursements or other things like that. The way the math works with some of these brackets and the simplification does not mean a tax cut for everyone. Have you had that expressed as a concern by your constituents, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I've had it raised to me by someone who's not my constituent, who is
on the radio.
No, okay, I got two.
All right, good.
You know, wealthier than I would never even dream I could be.
But I'm not talking about wealthy people here. I'm talking about middle.
You asked the question.
Okay, all right.
I'm just telling you the answer. So let me put this in. I've run for 20 years on a fairer, flatter, simpler tax code. What's not part of this calculation is the simplicity aspect of it and how some people, many people in my district, want to do a couple things. Or do they find it appealing that, so my district, I think I mentioned this before, 80% of my people in my congressional district do not itemize right now. You double the personal exemption, that number is going to be 90%. That means 90% of the people who live in my congressional district will be able to file their individual income tax return on a postcard. Now, many people find that very appealing, and I am one of them. And I fair, flatter, simpler is what I've always campaigned. I'm very excited about
that. You know, I think that's what the goal is here, and I'm all for it. Look, you know, maybe you have to take into consideration the amount of money you pay for your accountant, too. And I love my accountant, but at the same time, I think it would be awesome if I didn't have to gather everything that I have to gather every year when I legally take advantage of the tax code to minimize the confiscation that's coming from Washington. My concern would be there's going to be a fair amount of people, and this is potentially something that could come back to bite Republicans, that if you simplify the tax code, in effect, everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to get a tax cut. And then they start doing their taxes the following year and they realize, wait a second, this was not as good a deal as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I can't. Can you tell 100% of the people that 100% of people are going to benefit and have a lower rate?
Yeah, but the president said that. The president said it's going to be a tax cut for everyone. And now we've learned for upper income brackets, like for the real wealthy people, it's not going to be a tax cut.
I have been very successful this year on not commenting on what the president has said or has what he has tweeted. Okay. I just take that for the president saying and the president's tweeting. I don't think anyone has any really belief that 100% of the people. But I will tell you that all the rates except the 39.6 rate goes down. The standard deduction goes up. It's a simpler system. And again, not just the stress and strain of filing, but then the fear that you're going to get audited because of something that you missed. I mean, this is a whole new world for those of us. But that's just on the personal side. The corporate...
Well,
rate
that's very important. I wish you guys could just separate that out and pass that thing tomorrow.
And look at what people, and you followed the political world for a long period of time. Don't people really want us to do away with the special interest loopholes?
I think so, yes.
That's what we're doing.
John, I'm not saying that I don't support what you're trying to do. I do. And I've talked about from the day that the Senate flipped to Republican, that's been my number one goal. And I've said for years now, 3 years, that if this opportunity is wasted, it's a big whiff. And I don't know, you're a baseball player, so I can use that analogy. But you guys aren't exactly, you know, loading the bases up these days for a variety of reasons. And I'm not just going to put that on Congress. There's a lot of complications. This is done in a way that, you know, because of the way the budget works and because of the process and because you're not going to get any Democratic votes, you have to do reconciliation. And I get that that's part of the deal. So I want tax reform. I want lower tax rates for most Americans. I'm actually okay with that top rate staying at that point. If that's one of the trade-offs, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this is difficult. If you look at any of the pictures from my friends on the Ways and Means when they marked up, I think there's six major tax code books, and you stack them up, and they're about 2.5 feet high.
That's silly. It's nonsense. Right.
And again, people, we were hearing it from people. Everybody wants lower rates, but they don't want to lose their deduction. You can't do that. If you want lower rates, you have to clear out the underbrush, and some of these deductions that are written in the tax code are pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that if you cut spending, but there's always an unwillingness to cut spending. Look, if you just passed an overall tax reduction and eliminate the loopholes and all that, I think people would be fine if they're paying, in the end, less taxes. But that's where the concern is. You're going to take away some deductions and some loopholes, but if we still end up paying more taxes than we were before, that's not a good deal.
Again,
potentially.
There's no perfection this side of heaven. So,
except here on the radio. And I understand it. Most people make mistakes. Let me ask one question here. Roy Moore, Alabama. I'm sure you didn't expect this question coming. Here's what the speaker said today about this.
He should step aside. Number one, these allegations are credible. Number two, he should. If he cares about the values and the people he claims to care about, then he should step aside.
Roy Moore went to West Point, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
You know, what
I don't know. I can't tell you. I wasn't there with him, so he's a lot older.
Oh, now you're being discriminatory because of age? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just saying I think you're right.
No, I'm kidding. I think and I brought it up because you have common ground there. But your position on Roy Moore, obviously he'd be in the Senate. The Speaker was asked about this today. Should this guy drop out of the race?
Well, I'll ascribe to the Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell said, raising the issue of concern. I mean, our brand has enough problems right now than to deal with a Roy Moore.
I think you're right about that. How's everything else going, John?
Why do we love this job? Is it's always a new day and new problems and new challenges. So, doing fine. I mean, we've got a big bill on the floor, the National Defense Authorization Act. That's big for Boeing and St. Louis. It's big for a pay raise, first big pay raise for our troops in 8 years. So, we're doing a flood insurance bill. This is actually a big legislative week for the House of Representatives.
Well, thank you for squeezing me in here this afternoon. He's an establishment rhino Republican, as they say.
Oh, you're not helping me.
No,
here,
I know. You know my feelings on that. Everyone's apparently everyone's in the establishment. But and saying rhino Republican is apparently that's a double negative there. I should have just said rhino. But I actually had somebody call. There was a nice woman who called one time years ago, and I was using that term, and she's like, "What is a rhino?" I don't want to assume that everybody knows what that is.
I'm going to work on my, what is a new way to define that?
Will you get back to me on that?
In power, newly.
Yeah, keep working on it.
Optimizing.
Keep working on it. All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
All right. The Illinois Congressman John Shipka is with us this afternoon on KMOX.
It's Mark Reardon now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with news, weather, traffic, and information you need on KMOX.
You know, the thing about the swamp and about tax reform, and this is what gets frustrating for, I think, a lot of people out there, and certainly it's frustrating to me, because you have to make this thing, just by the rules and with reconciliation, what they refer to as revenue neutral, right? So there's only so much they can do with reducing the tax burden. And it's because they spend too much money. That's why we always go to this.
Stop spending!
We can't wean ourselves. There's no effort, really, when you think about it. And the way that Washington works, and I think a lot of you know this, it's never about reducing the amount of money that's in one budget. I think most people would have to do that. And this is why there was a lot of support for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a businessman. He wanted to go to Washington. He wants to drain the swamp. He wants to clean up the swamp. I came back from a trip last year when I visited with Illinois Congressman John Shimkus and Rodney Davis. I went to the congressional baseball game last year. This was not this past summer in the aftermath of the shooting at practice, but the previous summer. And I had been to one of those before, and it was just a blast. It really was very, very cool. And that was the game where the Democrats, boy, they were on a roll for like 5 years or maybe even more than that. The Republicans came back and they won in rather dramatic fashion. But I popped around a lot of places on the Hill during that trip, and I realized that the culture, the lobbyists, the graft, if you will, legal graft, is so predominant, so prevalent, that there really is, I don't think anyone is capable of fixing it, because you always have the special interests out there that are going to demand this and demand that. And that's what's happening on tax reform, too. Make no mistake about it. That's what happened with health care reform. Now, I'm not all against some special interest just because they're a special interest. I'm a broadcaster. We have people who represent us in Washington. They lobby for rules that will be favorable to us and that don't cost jobs. And everybody who works in a particular industry probably has lobbyists that are working on behalf of, maybe it's not their company, but on behalf of their particular trade or skill or business. There's nothing wrong necessarily with that. That's part of the process. But the problem is that every time money gets budgeted into, there's so much silliness out there. Tom Coburn used to put this thing together. You know, the pig book, the Citizens Against Government Waste puts it out, and someone sort of took it over. There's so many little things that, well, big things, really. It's not even little things that add up to billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. And there's no willingness whatsoever from year to year to reduce any amount of money or to cut budgets. It's always about, and this is where you get into this, you know, the particular phrasing. It's not about cutting. It's about reducing the amount of spending. So the budgets, and this has happened ever since, God, for decades and decades. And even when the Republicans in the 80s controlled Congress, they didn't reduce spending. They may have reduced the amount of the increases, but that's not the same. I don't know if anyone is capable of making and enforcing change in the swamp, but so far, it ain't happening. There's not a lot of winning there. Second hour of the show coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.